This episode of the Red and White Podcast is brought to you by Roback, roback.com, performance apparel company. They make polos, hoodies, Q-zips that are legit just the best fit and the best feel. I know you've seen the little dog logo on people's shoulders. That's Roback. They gave you a 20% off coupon if you use the code REDWHITE. So go support the sponsors of the podcast. Go get yourself some sick apparel. And thanks for listening. I was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves. Eight to they fool. Run through the night. Playing with your life. Going against the pack. That's risking your life. All right, folks, we are back with another Just Red and White Podcast. I'm your host, Evan. Here with my man, special guest, as always, I feel very privileged to have him on here. It's the high royalty of NC State Athletics. Got him off the driving range. James Henderson, no. IPS, Inside Pack Sports. How you doing, James?
Good, man. I need your producer. I say that time and time again. The music is just on point. Hook me up. Who did it? Whoever did it, hook me up. I need a guy like that.
John Stout's been mad, right?
Producer, yeah, there you go. I need to talk to John. Hey, give me some music, man. Sounds good.
How you been, James?
Good, good. How about you? Staying busy, staying good. On the course. Good tan. Yeah. I see the tan. I see the hairline tan. It's all good. Tan good. Lines
yeah. going. Yeah.
There you go.
Solid watch tan. Yeah. Trying to.
You got a glove tan? You still got the glove tan?
I don't wear a glove. No.
Oh, I forgot, man. I forgot. You're one of those guys who can do it without the glove. That's unbelievable.
Original, yeah.
There you go.
All right, well, we've been chatting, we've been texting over the last, I don't know, forever, but this last couple of weeks, you're like, we need to record this. Let's talk about this. But before we get into specifically money and stuff, NC State recruiting just picked up Rosner, Rice, wide receiver. What's your take on him?
You know, I mean, I think if you can get a guy like that in July, you do it, right? I mean, 800 yards receiving last year, 10 touchdowns. When you look at State's wide receiver room, which I'm sure we'll talk about, I mean, if you believe in the upside, that's one thing, but you still want to have somebody that's proven he can do something. And I think with him is interesting. I don't know how familiar you are with his background, but this will be his eighth year of college.
Yeah.
Right.
I saw somebody said that they Googled him and his LinkedIn profile came up.
I don't know.
That's pretty funny. I was like,
and the crazy thing about it is, so he's played seven seasons. He's been injured for four. So he's missed four seasons due to injury. And then the three he's played one JUCO season and two at Rice. He's been all conference or all American. So I kind of view it like NC State's getting a guy where you hate to say this. He's either probably not playing. or he's going to be really good for him, right? I mean, that's kind of what he's been. He's either been hurt or he's been a star for whoever he's played with. So when you get to July, you can kind of, you know, throw that dart out there, and I think it's a good get.
Who do you comp him to of past, I don't know, state wide receivers or ACC wide receivers or anybody? Who's your comparable?
That's a good question. So I asked him that when I interviewed him, and he went with Mike Evans. Now, again, he's not saying he's an NFL player. Yeah, you know, an NFL, you know, probably a Hall of Famer. But I get why he said that. He's 6'5", he's fast, you know, big jump ball target. I mean, that's the type of player he is. NC State, I mean, maybe you could say Devin Carter. I just think he's more explosive. You know, when you look at his A-dot numbers, you look at his yards after the catch, you look at his yards per route run. I mean, there's more, I think, quick-twitch athleticism there than Carter. But similar profile, I mean, big physical guy he can throw the ball up to.
I hope he's more
Well, he is. I mean, and that's kind of what I'm saying is, yeah. I mean, like, I've already, you know, I mean, Devin Carter's been a good player for NC State. And that's why I hate giving a Devin Carter comp because
– I know.
You know, yeah. We look at the project, but – I mean, you know, if he gives – it's all going to come back to opportunity. I talk about this with all the receivers. I don't know where you're at on this. I feel like I'm the only person out there who's not scared to death of NC State's wide receiver room. I think everybody just assumes State has nobody that can catch the football, and I don't believe that. I mean, I think they've got guys. I think you need to give them opportunity, and you need to pepper them with targets, and you need to pick guys and go with them. You can't be, you know, I mean, what was it last year? You had Josiah Pavilion playing games where he's getting the same amount of snaps as Devin Carter. I mean, are we serious here?
Yeah, I think that State's got enough talent. If you just look at, like, recruiting rankings, right, there's enough talent there at the wide receiver room. But, you know, Porter Rook's highly rated guy coming in. You really – you don't know what you're going to get out of him. Was he been behind Thayer, had been able to get on the field. You know, the wide receiver rotations are more of a question to me than the actual wide receivers. Like, Julian Gray, everybody knows he's an athlete, but what can he do if he's given more time at wide receiver?
Exactly, yeah.
I don't think anybody knows. And so I get the skepticism from it, but at the same time, you know, there are some players there. You know, Timmons showed in a little amount of time he's had. You know, Concepcion's had a great spring by all accounts, right? I mean, there's guys that can play. I think Rosner's being a big body is what we've been missing, right? They didn't really have the big wide receiver that they've relied on so much. Now, I was kind of looking forward to not having that guy and seeing what we would do if we put a lot of speed on the field, because I think that's where State has been lacking, so to speak. They just haven't had a lot of speed. But now they have guys that can move, but how do you get a whole bunch of slot guys on the field? That's kind of the question.
You got to play them. You have to play them, you know. And what I mean by play them is I want to feature guys. Right. I don't want to play eight receivers. You know, one of the things that I say this and I mean this in all seriousness. I'm not trying to knock Eli Drinkwitz as a head coach, okay? But the reason he got the opportunity, or a big reason he got the opportunity he did at App State, is the success he had with his skill position players. I mean, you go back and look at his 3 years at NC State: Ryan Finley, all conference; Naheem Hines, Jalen Samuels, all conference; Kelvin Harmon, Jacoby Myers, all conference. Why? Because he featured those guys. Kelvin Harmon was getting 120 targets a season. Well, you give somebody 120 targets, I'm not the brightest. They're going to catch a lot of balls, right? They're going to probably put some numbers up to make them be, you know, and we're going to think they're very good. Whether they're very good or not, they're going to put numbers up. And so you lose, because I think that's the thing. I was having a discussion with a guy this morning. We were talking about the offenses, and he made a comment, because I was kind of making the same point where it was like, hey, if you just pick guys and go with them, we're going to all of a sudden think you've got good receivers at NC State. And the pushback I got was, well, I think we're smarter than that. Back in 21, you know, we had a really good offense and nobody really stood out. But everybody thinks Tim Beck's not good. Right, like a lot of people aren't Tim Beck fans, even though in 21, Devin Leary did enough to be preseason ACC player of the year the following year. And why is that? Why do we look at the receiver room? Because you had all these guys splitting up snaps, splitting up targets, not being featured. And it's just different ways you can do it. But I kind of like the Drinkwitz approach, because it makes us sleep good at night, because we think we have really good players. You understand what I mean by that? Like, I mean, there's multiple ways you can do it. You can share the wealth, which is what Tim Beck did. Tim Beck featured, he threw to his running backs, he threw to his tight ends, he threw to five or six or seven different receivers. You still had a good offense, but you didn't have a star. I think we as fans and those who cover teams, we want a star, because we think it means we have really, really good players. And you look at what Drinkwitz did. If you go back to doing that this year, you're going to have some guys put up numbers, and you're going to have some quote-unquote stars again.
So is Kelvin Harmon just a product of getting 120 catches or passes thrown his way? Or is he a legit star?
Kelvin Harmon was a sixth-round draft pick. Jacoby Myers went undrafted. Jacoby's still in the league playing. Kelvin was a sixth-round draft pick. I mean, both of those guys don't profile as elite-level athletes. You know, the guys we're talking about, you know, I think it's weird. I wish Drinkwitz would have stayed in 2019, because we could have seen a Mecca Mezzi in that system get featured, right, and get peppered, and see how he would look coming on the heels of those two guys. But it's just different philosophies. And that's kind of what I'm saying is, like, I think you're going, like, if you go and look at Robert and I's track record the last 6 years, I don't care what team he's been on. Somebody's come out of nowhere to have a breakout season at receiver. And I think, if I remember correctly, I think over the last 6 years, he's had six different guys lead his team in receiving. Yeah. You know, Arondé Gaston last year had three catches going into last season for Syracuse. No one knew who, like, he's Terrell Timmons. Yeah. There's no media member nationally talking about Arondé Gaston going into the year. I mean, you go back to look at his numbers at Virginia, Hussein Dubois, Terrell Yana. I mean, I'm going to start naming off some Keontae Thompson. Like, yeah, come on, man. You
pronounce all these names.
I'm struggling with him a little bit. But the point is, I think he's going to find a guy or two. And we know the offense, you're going to throw the football. I mean, you look at what he did with Brendan Armstrong in the spring game. I mean, the guy threw the ball 28 times in a rainstorm and a half.
Right. So is it – where do you lie then? Like, is it – you know, everybody, you know, a lot of your people, a lot of the IPS guys will say, you know, we got to trust the coaches. And I think you have the people second guessing it, not just because they want a star, but because you hear about how good Julian Gray has been or how good Porter Rooks has been. And they, you know, in the little they've been on the field, they've done pretty well. And same thing with Terrell Timmons. So, like, why haven't those guys been more heavily featured? Like, what's the do we not trust the coaches, or do we trust the coaches?
Well, it's tough because, like I just said, in 21 you had a really good offense. Like, I mean, I'm ignoring last year. You played four quarterbacks. Like, we can be mad about last year if we want to and want to fire Tim Beck if we want to. You played four quarterbacks. Like, I mean, go look at what Robert and I did at Syracuse when Garrett Schrader got hurt.
Yeah,
it wasn't good. And that was quarterback two. And I mean, I like Robert and I. I'm not trying to knock him. I'm just trying to put perspective to the fact that NC State played four quarterbacks last year. Like, so using last year as some sort of indication of the offense, I always thought that was crazy. Like, I mean, I'm not a big Tim Beck supporter. I've given you things I don't like about what they do offensively under Tim Beck. But when you say trust the coaches, I mean, I think the pushback would have been, from what we're talking about, well, in 21, we were really good offensively. Devin Leary did have a big-time season. Now, we just spread the wealth. We just did it differently. You know, because, I mean, think about how you look at it, right? Like, if you're not happy with the way we're saying we want to see it, your argument would be, why are we only throwing to two or three guys? That might be easy to defend, right? Like, the counter to that would be, under Tim Beck, maybe you're saying it's harder to defend because you're not focused on one or two guys going into each game. So I get it. I get, from a coaching standpoint, why State may have played that way. I don't personally believe Anai is going to do the same. I think he's going to be a little bit more like Drinkwitz, because if you look at his track record, he's had – I mean, I think, like I said, I mean, what did he have? The last 6 years, he's had somebody with over 900 yards receiving every single year. Yeah. I don't think State had won the last three seasons over 900 yards receiving. And
no, yeah, we haven't.
And so – I don't know who the guy's going to be. It might be Bradley Rosner. You know, it might be Terrell Timmons. It might be Julian Gray. It may be Keon Lassane. Who knows? But I'm fairly confident that when you look at him doing – and not to mention, you get Armstrong back, who the last time he played, he had him. He averaged over 400 passing yards per game. Like, it's amazing to me that we're trying to have a quarterback controversy here. I'm kind of – maybe you can get a little perspective to that. I don't understand that whole – deal.
Yeah, we'll get there. I wanted to dig a little bit more on this because, you know, if you look back at 21, and I think this is where people's
21 for State?
Yeah, yeah. You're talking about good offenses, right? We're, you know, we'll throw away last year. But we're going back to the wide receivers, right? People are looking forward. We haven't had a dynamic wide receiver. And that's, you know, you go back to 21, State was 48th in explosive plays. So that's 20-plus yards. It's not very good when you're behind Florida Atlantic, ECU, Charlotte, UAB, Toledo, right? That's a tough hill to climb there. How do we defend that, right? And that's why people are looking for, hey, these guys are okay, but we need a game changer, right? Did we not have it on the roster?
Well it's there's different ways in how you measure offense. I mean, State was also second in the ACC in touchdowns per game, passing touchdowns per game. You know, State was third in the league in QB rating. I mean, there are different metrics you can, like, if you want to talk about being more explosive, I think some of that's a product of the offense.
Like, it's also directly tied to the wide receivers, though, right? I mean, or directly tied to.
I just think a lot of that to me is opportunity, and it's opportunity. Like, I mean, I think we could be explosive if we would just, like, I mean, go back and watch Emeka Mezzi's tape last year. How many were in 21? I'm pretty sure he was effective throwing the ball vertically to him. We State only would do it two or three times a game.
Yeah, I mean, only averaged 13 a catch, right? I mean, that's not getting super, not getting very vertical. Yeah.
I mean, Anthony Smith's another guy.
Yeah.
I mean, go look at his ADOT. You know, I mean, I think it was 28. He average depth of target. But when you're only doing it four or five, like, so if we're talking explosive, I think State's going to be more explosive in this system. It's just a different way you try to attack. I mean, you know, the reason I said 21 was an effective offensive year, I mean, Devin Leary had 35 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. I mean, I think he was the only quarterback in the conference to do that. I think in ACC play, he led all quarterbacks in touchdowns, fewest interceptions, QB rating, and was second in yards per game. That's a pretty good offense to me. I mean, you know, how you get there is, you know, kind of how you get there. Yeah, he had 27 touchdowns, 3 interceptions in conference play. Right. Averaged 8.2 yards per attempt, which was third in the league. Yeah, I mean, I think his QB rating was number one. So it's just a different way of how you're trying to do it. And I'm not saying, like, I agree with the way Beck did it. But I think they were more reliant on Leary's ability to make progressions, find the right receiver to get the ball to, go through reads, not focus on one guy. And, you know, again, I would have preferred them to throw the ball to Emeka Mezzi 10 times per game. He'd have been all ACC. You agree? I think so.
Yeah, I mean, probably he was good enough.
Yeah, I mean, but you need work. You need opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, like again, I'm looking at these numbers right now for Virginia. In 2017, who is Alameda Zacchaeus? 85, 8, 95, and 5.
Right.
2018, Alameda Zacchaeus. Okay, I was wrong. He did do it back-to-back. 1,060 yards and 9 touchdowns. 2019, Hussein Dubois, 75, 1,062 yards, 6 touchdowns. They had 3 guys that year have over 74 receptions in the season.
Right.
75. And that was the 19 season with, I think that was Bryce Perkins. That wasn't even Brendan Armstrong, if I remember correctly. That was Perkins last year. And then 19, and in 2020, you know, Billy Kemp, 21, Dontavian Wicks, Keaton. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I think you're going to see State focus on a couple of, you know, 2 or 3 receivers, give them more targets. With the volume you're going to have in this offense, I mean, they averaged 45 pass attempts per game in 21 with Armstrong at quarterback. Right. I mean, like, if he throws the ball 45 times a game this year, I'm putting money on State having an all-conference receiver.
Okay.
You agree? You agree or disagree? I mean, like,
I don't know. Like, I mean, I would assume the offense is going to be better and different. And, yes, I mean, that would make more sense to me. I'm trying to find, while we're talking, Amezi's target numbers for 21. I can't seem to find it. He's only got two games that year with more than double digit receptions. And a lot of them weren't even close. He's got 2, 3, 4, 1, 3, 5, 6, 1. Like,
oh yeah, yeah. It's ridiculous. Just, well, you know, we'll have
games. Are we expecting it to be? And so, I mean, bringing it back, I think that's why folks always want to be featured more, right? Because you don't have a game breaker on offense, or you haven't had a game. Amezi was good. He's not going to blow by you. He's not going to just.
But, I mean, I think that's Harmon, and I think that's Myers. I don't think they classify as game breakers physically.
Well, Harmon wasn't. That's why he didn't. That's why he dropped so far in the draft, right? It's 40 times.
Myers ran a 4.7.
Yeah.
He went undrafted.
Yeah, but those guys were also not stretching the field deep. I mean, they were throwing a lot of jump balls to him. And, you know, bringing it back to what you said about Leary, right? They use him to spread the ball around, but isn't that counterintuitive because his best asset was being able to throw the ball deep? Like, I think that's where we got some disconnect with how people perceived that offense and, you know, whether we like Tim Beck or not, right? It's, I feel like.
Well, I mean, like, to me, what I'm wanting to watch this year and kind of related to Anai is what type of a leash is he going to have as an offensive coordinator? And yeah. We're going to have a really good answer to how much of what we saw from Tim Beck was Tim Beck, how much of it was Dave Doran protecting his defense. I personally don't believe it was that. I don't have a problem with the way State played a lot. You know, you go back to last year, everybody was mad about the East Carolina game. You got up 21-7 and you just started running the ball and they're mad that Devin Leary wasn't throwing it every play. Okay, you won the game. I mean, I think I went back and looked ever since State's kind of used that formula the last 5 years. That was going all the way back to Ryan Finley, to start with Ryan Finley and Drinkwitz. I want to say the only game they've lost where they had a more than a touchdown lead in the fourth quarter was Wake Forest in 2018, where they've quote-unquote blown a game by playing non-aggressive. Because when you go and look, when they've built leads, they just run the football.
Well, shorten the game. How many times do they get behind and can't catch up because they're not explosive?
Well, I mean, I think that's the nature for most teams. I mean, I think most teams that fall behind by two touchdowns or whatever it is, they struggle winning those games. Yeah. Like, it's the kind of the same argument. I guarantee you most teams that are leading by a touchdown or two at halftime are they go on to win the game more often than not. Like, I'm not saying I agree with the way State was playing. I'm just saying I think that stunted some of what they were trying to do statistically offensively. Like, I mean, we've interviewed Dorn. I can't remember what game it was last year where he made the comment. It might have been after the UConn game. He just kind of said, yeah, we ran the game away in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. I mean, I get that, especially in games like that. That you mentioned the ECU game. That ECU game, in my opinion, broke Devin Leary. That interception he threw in that game got in his head. And I think you didn't see the same loose gunslinger that you saw before that. And I don't know if the coaches reined him in there or if that was him, but I felt like he changed after that play in that game.
But do you think – but I just don't – I think I get what you're saying. I was trying to pull up so I had a Mezzi in 21 with 89 targets, and he caught 60 balls. That season. This is from PFF. I get what you're saying. Like, I guess my whole deal with Leary last year was I didn't really believe Devin Leary had a bad year.
Sorry, hit the button by accident.
You know, when I look at his numbers from last season, you know, against East Carolina, you know, like I said, I mean, their State was 21 points at halftime. I mean, you go and look. The UConn game is hilarious to me. He scored 44, threw for over 300 yards. We didn't care because we thought UConn sucked. And then all of a sudden they're good. So I don't know. Does that game count as a bad game or not a game? Or
I mean, they still sucked. They're not on. They're not on.
I mean, they went 6-6. Texas Tech, for example, is the one that gets me. I mean, State won that game 27-14. He had a touchdown fumbled at the goal line by what's his name? Dimi Sumo. He had another touchdown over, called back on an illegal formation that they ended up running in. They had another touchdown where I think Sumo had another drop or something on a bomb or something. So they scored 27 points against Texas Tech. Should have scored 40-something. Would we feel better? You know, like –
Yes. I mean, yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, no doubt. And, again, like, hold the ball. Devin Leary has a touchdown. Like, it's the ball's out of his hands at that point. You cross the goal line, you get a touchdown. He fumbled it into the end zone. You know, then you play Clemson on the road. Okay. I mean, 28 for 47, 245 and a touchdown. I mean, like, I think if we go back and look at Clemson's numbers at home last year, I mean, most teams didn't go in there and blow them away. And then the Florida State game, he played a half before he got hurt, started getting him going, and he was done for the rest of the year. I don't know, man. Like, it's hard for me to evaluate Leary on that because you go back to 21, he started slow also and kind of got going once conference play really picked up. Yeah. And I think he would have done that this past year. But, again, that's just me projecting because I think Devin Leary's really good. And I think we'll see that this year.
Yeah.
But
it'd be interesting to see how Kentucky uses him. I firmly believe that we didn't use him in the right manner.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I would have been more aggressive with Leary.
Yeah.
But we've seen under Dorn, even when you go back to Finley, like when they get a touchdown or two touchdown lead at halftime, they run the football.
Yeah, I get it.
So everybody expecting State to put up the, like the East Carolina game. I mean, I think State had, they threw the ball, I believe, 26 times in the first half. They got up 21-7. They threw it 9 times in the second half. He finished with 33 pass attempts.
Well, that's the problem, right? Because they couldn't move the ball. They couldn't do anything successfully in that game. They didn't score.
But that was another game.
They should have lost that game, right?
Well, I guess we can make the argument they should have. That was also the game where they had two. Where they fumbled the ball at the goal line on second down by Jordan Houston, and then they had a four. They came back. They had another four downs down there. They couldn't get the end zone. I mean, you get any one of those in, and you probably. We're not even having this discussion, you know? I mean, that's kind of what I'm saying. There was some, like, fluky stuff going on there where it was like, okay.
But there's always going to be fluky stuff. I mean, that's just mentioned, like, 6 different things. So that's the reason why you don't take your foot off the gas if you can score. If you have an offense and you have a quarterback who can stretch the field like that, I mean, it's college football in 2023 now. You got to score points.
I mean, it's the same reason on 4th and goal when you're up 7, you go for it and they don't get it.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was conservative. You know, I mean they went had, for it.
There's been some moments. I just think the overall, if you're not explosive, then you set yourself up for situations like ECU where you're relying on them missing a kick to win a game that should have been out of hand early. I mean, you're up 21 and score 21 points at halftime, 21-7, I think it was at halftime. Mm-hmm. And you could have absolutely just demoralized that program by scoring 2 more times straight out of the gate. And you had those opportunities, but we came out and just tried to salt it away on the ground and couldn't do anything. It just, we haven't been a good running team. And that's part of the problem with, you know, getting conservative and doing that is that you're not a dominant running team. I think numbers, you can paint a picture that they've been.
No, okay, I mean, I don't think they've been a good running team either. I mean, I think so that's tied to Leary.
That's the problem here. You know,
when you continue to win those games, State's not changing it. That's the problem. Yeah. It's like they're still seeing the win. Like they care about the win. They don't care about scoring 50. Like, again, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I think they care about just winning the game.
They do. I think State fans, and this is in fans in general, for everybody, want to win more than just the games that they should win, right? I mean, I think that's
– Yeah, no doubt.
You want to give yourself a chance to win more of the bigger games, and I think that's where the disconnect comes with being explosive. I think you look at a team like – and I hate to do it – Carolina, who has been explosive the last few years, while it's also put them in some positions – Mm-hmm. They've also
Multiple
it's also
ways you can
them,
look at it.
Yeah, it's they've also given them some opportunities. And I know there's a balance there. And I think that's where State's wide receivers have not been good enough. And I don't know if it's the system and Tim Beck trying to spread it around or not having the speed, but I'd like to see this year with Anai and a whole bunch of slot guys and now 1-6-5 guy, let's get the ball in their hands more often and let's get some more speed on the field. You know, the rotations have been more of a concern to me than the actual scheme. The way and the usage of how they're using, you know, like you said, Provolone and Stain and some of these other guys are just like, I just don't see it with them. And they keep trying to force them into these rotations for whatever reason.
Well, I mean, if we're being honest, like, and again, I'm not, no disrespect to anybody I'm about to mention. I have to get that out the way because case somebody hears that, I don't want to disrespect anybody. But, you would not think Devin Carter, Thayer Thomas, even Emeka Mezi, Porter Rooks, or Keon Lassane, none of them blow you away athletically. Right. Like, this week we had some numbers released or given to us. I can pull these up here while we're talking. On NC State, I guess they did some recent speed testing. We put this on our message boards. Electronic times, Ant Smith, 4.35. Julian Gray, 4.37. Terrell Timmons, 4.40. Michael Allen, 4.43. And then you had Jordan Houston, 4.46. That's the offensive guys that we were given. I mean, that's, you know, the first four names I mentioned, Anthony Smith, Julian Gray, Terrell Timmons, and Michael Allen, those guys were all freshmen or sophomores last year. and got very little run because of the names I mentioned ahead of, to you a minute ago. Right. Now, and I don't know if part of that state's like seniority deal where they want to play, they're going with older guys. I don't think Robert and I is going to do that because case in point, look at what we just talked about with Aronde Gaston this past year. Right. He goes to Syracuse his first year. His featured guy is a redshirt freshman receiver or slash tight end. Like this, his system and the way he plays screams a guy like Terrell Timmons or Anthony Smith or Julian Gray breaking out because of that athleticism. And that's the, I agree with you. Like, I wouldn't have a problem playing one of Porter Rooks and Keon Lassane and Devin Carter while you're also playing Thayer Thomas. But you can't play all four of those guys. Like, that's the issue I have. Like I was saying all last year, you can't put Anthony Smith out there to run 40 go routes a game to help your run game out.
Yeah.
Just run up the sideline, dude. You can't, like, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, we do that on Madden, right? I mean, just it's not. Instead, they put Josiah Pavilion out there.
Yeah. And that's what I want to see this year. I think that's what I want to see the usage change. More speed. You have more speed as I guess older, but let's put them on the field. Let's give some of these guys a chance. And that's, it'll be interesting to see how Anai uses that. If that was a Beck, I know I personally give a lot of grief to Joker Phillips about those rotations. I don't know if it's his call or Beck's call and it's packages and all that stuff, but I want to see some different usage this year. And I'm hoping Anai brings that change.
Well, one of the interesting things is, and first of all, I do want to say Anthony Smith played four games. He missed most of last year with injury, so I don't want to just make it like he was sitting on the sidelines not playing. But it is interesting that Anai is, I think he's working with the inside receivers.
Yeah.
So to kind of to your point, maybe he's got more of a say this year in the rotations at the receiver because, you know, Beck's just quarterback's coach. Right. You know, he was quarterback's coach OC. So that could play a role is he could have more of an impact on – who's getting on the field, and I'm with you. And the other thing that's going to help is, you, like, one of the things I also didn't like that Tim Beck did a lot of was the let's get up to the line of scrimmage and look at me stuff. Check, check, check.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like we're checking a podcast here. Check, check with me, check with me. Right? Whereas Anai, it's up-tempo. Well, when you play up-tempo, you play no huddle, you're playing – you're not subbing.
Right.
So by that process alone, you're going to be keeping guys on the field more. Right. So I think that plays a role in it also that we're going to see more of. Now, the question is going to be who are those first three or four guys going to be? But I think you're generally going to see those guys out there getting more snaps, getting more targets.
Who are those first four guys going to be?
Don't know. Give them to me.
What do you think? Come on now. I know you got something.
I'm worried. I'm worried it might be somebody we don't want it to be. So I don't want to give anybody out
there. Nakari Collins.
I think, I will say this. You bring Bradley Rosner in, you're playing him.
It sure seems like it, right?
You're playing him, right?
Yeah.
So I think he's going to get every opportunity to be out there. And I think I don't know if we were talking about this on air or off air, but, you know, you look at what he's done. I mean, when he's been out there, he's played and he's produced. And so I think that's a comfort level you can get with – because really that's what you're missing at that position. If it were me, I would be trying to play Anthony Smith. Like, he's the guy I'm the biggest fan of because when you look at his numbers, his average depth of target's been ridiculous. Like, just the fact – and has he had a couple drops? Sure. I don't care. I mean –
give him more chances.
I don't care. Bradley Rosner had two games last year. He had three drops in each of those games.
All right.
It happens. But if I have a guy who every time you watch Anthony Smith play, he's getting two steps on a defender deep – and you pair him with a quarterback like Brandon Armstrong, who's not afraid to throw deep, which is another thing, you know, that I think we need to mention is the fact that he may have some turnovers because he tries to score. Like, I like guys who want to score.
Yeah, all for it. If you're going to turn it over.
Like, I don't turn it over some. Turn it over some. I don't want two interceptions.
Yeah. Right. I don't want ducks across the middle. Throw them deep if you're going to turn them over. That's what
I just don't want – and I think part of that – that's also part of what we were talking about earlier where it's like the low interceptions, is that a product of really, really good quarterback play or is that conservative play?
It's conservative, calling and playing. And I think –
like, Brandon Armstrong's going to be aggressive.
Yeah, give it to me.
So, yeah. I mean, if he throws two interceptions but he gives us five touchdowns, I'll live with the two interceptions. Right. You know, and so – I think pairing a guy like Smith with Armstrong, or pairing Terrell Timmons, who, like we just talked about, ran a 4.4 electronic with Armstrong, and just throw it aggressively vertically, that's your upside you're looking for. And that's State's way, I think, to win this league this year. Because I think they have a chance. There's a percentage chance there where it hits.
I agree. Nobody scares me. I mean, everybody's on the FSU bandwagon. No. They don't scare me. Oh. But my listeners will know that I've been an Ant Smith stan for a while. I'd love for him to get on the field more. And I think that's exactly why is you have a guy that can stretch the field. We haven't had a speed guy that can change the game since Nyheim Hines. Like, we haven't had one of those players. And they are so critical. You saw what happened when he goes down. They're so critical to the success of an offense and the run game and being able to be dynamic. We have speed in some of these guys. Let's see him get on the field. I'm excited to see Timmons, Gray, Ant Smith, any of those guys in space with the ball. Like, let them go, man. Let them work. That's what they do. They run. Let them run. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have to play those guys. Now, will you put a possession guy with them? Probably. You know, I get that. But if you're going to play the way he's played or he's coached, and that's all out vertical, you're going to play those guys, in my opinion.
I'm excited to see what it does for the running game. Like, I know you and I have both talked about this before. Mm-hmm. State should have run from more of a four wide spread to open up the field a little bit more. I mean, they're going to have to now, I think, with the makeup of this team. And I would love to see what that's going to do for Michael Allen, Jordan Houston, and whoever else is going to be toting the rock there.
I mean, I think the other thing that's going to help is you've got a running quarterback. You know, I've told people last year, I mean, you watch college football now. I mean, when Devin Leary runs his own read, are you
terrible. It's so bad. Like,
are you
again,
respecting it? Like, and then people are mad at the offensive line because an unblocked defensive end runs down the running back from the backside. It's like, no shit, he's running the guy down. He doesn't care that the quarterback's out, not keeping the ball. Right. Whereas Armstrong, you know, who's a guy who's had a 500-yard rushing season, he will keep the – you've got to respect that now. Yeah. Watch how that impacts your running game. You know, the fact that your quarterback can get you 30 yards rushing in a game versus minus 18 because you took three sacks and didn't rush for anything. I mean, folks don't understand it. That's a 48-yard difference in your running game. Yeah. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but you tell me 110 and 150 isn't different.
It's a lot different. And it's the threat of it is probably even more. You can't measure how that's going to impact it, right? I mean, just
right.
We saw that with MJ when he came in. He was a little bit more dynamic of a runner. He's still not a pure runner, but he's a good runner. And he was willing to take some risks throwing it down the field. I think that combination really stresses a defense more.
You look at Carolina with Howell and May. I mean, like, if we talk about their offense, I don't really think they run the ball great from a scheme standpoint with their running backs and the different things they do, but they incorporate their quarterbacks in the run game. Those guys scramble because they can run on broken down plays. You're not getting that from a pocket passer. I mean, again, there's a lot of things I liked about Devin Leary the last 3 years. But Brennan Armstrong is going to be able to tuck the ball and run and pick stuff up. So your rushing numbers are going to all of a sudden be better. We're going to think, oh, my God, our offensive line coach is great. And, again, no offense to Garrett Touje. I'm not trying to say he's not great. I'm just saying there's some tweaks that have been made personnel-wise and scheme-wise where 1 + 1 = 2, man. I mean, it's not, like I said, it's not rocket science. I mean, your quarterback runs, it helps your run game.
I mean, Carolina was really good run game when they had two NFL running backs on their roster, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that makes you look a lot better. And a quarterback who could run, right?
Ian. Right. And how? Yeah. I mean, you know, like they brought into like 3-4-star running backs last year. And
they were terrible.
I mean, it was Drake May running it still.
Yep.
You know? So
you brought it up. Yeah. QB controversy. Why do people think MJ should play? Do you want to know the answer to that?
Please give me the answer to that. Yes, I would love to know. Because, like, I like MJ Morris as a prospect. He was a true freshman last year who, unfortunately, had NC State's two-season home winning streak snapped to Boston College at home.
Yeah.
That's my most recent memory of MJ Morris playing, scoring 21 and losing – was it 21 and losing to Boston College at home on senior day.
A terrible Boston College team. People are the upside. right? I think people are between MJ's upside and the questionable.
All right.
The questions between Brennan Armstrong in 21 and Brennan Armstrong in 22, mm-hmm. right? And I know it's the easy thing is, hey, he didn't have his offensive coordinator. I mean, that's it, right? People are just saying, we know what Brennan Armstrong can do. Is he going to, you know, the Virginia schedule was terrible. The defense was terrible. They had to throw it a bazillion times. That's why he put up video game numbers. Where is he going to fall? Is he going to be 2022 Armstrong? Is he 2021 Armstrong?
So, okay. So to answer that, let me answer that for you. So what is the downside? So we think we know the downside of Armstrong. What's the downside of MJ Morris?
Boston College game. I mean, we don't really know off of an extended period of time. We just know isolated. Yeah.
Because for me, when I think upside, I'm going to give you a list here of guys in the ACC who've averaged over 400 yards passing per game in a single season. If we're talking upside, okay. That list goes Brennan Armstrong. I mean, upside.
Uh-huh.
405 passing yards per game in a single season. Yeah. 30 touchdowns in 11 games passing. He also rushed for 500 yards that season.
Are the attempt numbers going to be same? Like, are we going to be in the same?
I'm saying upside. Like, you can't get more upside than the best passing season ever in the league. So I'm not saying you're wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong about MJ. I just think it's weird. We like, and I'm not saying you, I'm saying in general fans, we believe there's this upside with MJ that doesn't also exist with Armstrong.
The people saw the difference between when Devin Leary was arguably not playing great midseason last year when he got hurt, and then what MJ was able to come in and do. I think that got people excited. That offense looked more fun, more vertical. All of these
which
things
games are you referring to?
I don't know. I'm a terrible historian.
So He came in against Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
He came in against Virginia Tech. He played against Wake Forest, who stunk on defense. And then he had the Boston College debacle, where, to be fair, I'm giving MJ a pass on that personally because I think he was dinged up midway through the game.
Yeah, he was definitely hurt. Yeah.
Right. So, I'm not holding Boston College against him. But, you know, when you look at his numbers from last year, he only started one full game. That was Wake Forest. He had 210 passing yards. And three touchdowns, no interceptions, which is a good number, good game. But like I just said, I gave you the list of the quarterbacks who for a season in this league have thrown for over 400 yards per game.
I'm with you.
And so if I'm playing a guy based on upside, the guy I'm playing is Armstrong. Because I think we've seen him have that. And so I don't have a problem with – I think MJ, hopefully for NC State, he's going to be their starter for 3 years. He redshirts this year because he should have redshirted last year. That's the whole thing that frustrates me about the MJ Morris deal is when he was recruited, he was never expected to play last year. You had Devin Leary, who – that was going to be his showcase year for the NFL. You had Jack Chambers as a backup. Devin was going to play the whole season. You never had to play your backup except for spot duty. You could have redshirted Morris. He'd come into this year. What would we be saying about MJ Morris? Would we even be asking why is he not starting if you brought in Brennan Armstrong in that scenario? Probably not.
No, probably not.
We would have never even seen him.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And so
it
kind of sped up the process for him to where I think it might be a little, I don't want to say unfair, but I think if you're NC State, ideally you let him redshirt, you let him learn the system. Armstrong's got 1 year, and then your hope is you see enough from him in the fall to where you don't feel like you got to go in the portal and get another starter.
Yeah,
That's the other reason I don't feel like you have to play MJ because of the worry of him leaving. Because you can always just get a portal guy. Like the portal has changed the way you got to approach the quarterback position. You can't approach the quarterback position. I mean, you don't have to, like, appease young players. You don't have to. So, like, but I think MJ understands it. You know, I mean, I think it seems like he didn't leave, right? I mean, there was speculation he could enter the portal after spring and got a nice truck via NIL, it looked like. right? I mean, you know, congratulations on that. You know, he put out a really good tweet thanking everybody for the NIL opportunities. Yeah. And here we are. But I think of some people feel I'm not an MJ fan. I like MJ a lot, man. I think he has a lot of upside. I think he could be a star. We saw that last year. But my biggest worry for NC State going into this year is you play game number one and Brennan Armstrong has a bad series and you've got people calling for MJ Morris.
Oh, it's going to happen. You know it's going to happen. If Armstrong has any kind of rust, you know it's going to happen. And I misspoke. It was when Chambers came in and Chambers was like, why the hell is this guy playing? And then MJ comes in and you're like, oh, well, we should have been playing this guy, right? It wasn't Leary. It was Chambers.
And to be fair, the problem, the whole argument, because I asked people about that and they said, well, James, you know, MJ was getting third string snaps, you know, in fall camp. How much have we seen from MJ? Right. Probably not a lot, you know, because you had Leary getting reps. You had Chambers getting the backup reps. So it makes sense that they hadn't played him. But I will say, yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I think, you know, the push to play him is going to be – it's going to be there with – I don't know, man. I think that it's one of those things where I will say this. They announced today the guys going to the ACC kickoff. Did you see that?
Yeah, Wilson, and Brandon Armstrong, and
– and Aiden White.
Aiden White, there you go.
But they're sending Armstrong.
Yeah.
I mean, that should tell folks something.
How many guys have been to ACC kickoff with two different teams?
Yeah, probably. Well, I imagine more is going to start happening too, right? But, I mean, I think that tells you where State's at with Armstrong. I mean, I think they're fully committed to him. And I love it because, like I said, when I watch Armstrong play, this is a guy who has boom potential. The way I think NC State wins the ACC is you put an explosive offense with Tony Gibson.
Yeah, agreed.
And so
that's what we've all wanted to see.
Yeah, so like the way they played against Virginia, they didn't have Gibson's defense. Give them Gibson's defense to see how many games Virginia wins that year. They win the Coastal.
Yeah.
They win the Coastal that year. So I want them playing aggressive with Armstrong. Now, you may have some interceptions. That's fine and all. But go out and try and score 40 points.
Yeah.
And then see if teams can catch you. See if teams can catch you going against that defense. That's the formula. And I hope, for NC State's sake, that Doran realized that. Because there have been some – I'd heard some buzz behind the scenes. Again, it never had to play out this way because Coastal made the decision to go and hire Tim Beck away. But I'd heard some buzz that there was going to be a change at OC anyways. Right. I don't know if you heard that or not. But if so, maybe Doran just said, okay, we got to go in a different direction with the way we play offensively. And that's if that's true, then I'm encouraged because I do – like I keep saying, the worry is, are you going to still play conservative and to your defense? Hope not. Because I don't know if you're good enough even defensively this year to win it that way. Yeah. I think if you're State, you got to look at it realistically and say we may have a drop off defensively. Might be small, but you're going to have a little bit of a drop off. So you got to go out and be a little more aggressive offensively.
I think something I always give, and I did hear a little bit about that. I think you and I talked about that before, and Dave even acknowledged it in his presser, is that they need to change their philosophy and blah, blah, blah. I remember all that later on. I give Dave a lot of credit, albeit he's slower in adapting than a lot of us would like, but he has adapted, right? And if you look at it, it started on the defensive side when he went from the Huxtable base, bend but don't break nonsense, to now Tony Gibson, who's more built to cover spreads and a little bit more aggressive. Like, he got there eventually. It took him a couple of years, longer than some of us would have liked, but he got there. And I think that's my hope is that he's got there with the offense too. And he realizes, hey, we've got to be more dynamic on offense. Now, the recruiting side of it still has to play out that way. You still need the athletes to fill in there, but I'm with you. If we have a dynamic offense paired with what we can do on defense, I think this is a real opportunity for State. Brennan Armstrong shouldn't face any real stress, I don't think, until he's got the Notre Dame game second week, which should be fine. You know, it'll be interesting to see what he does there and what they are. That'll be his real test. After that, he should settle back in, I guess, Louisville at home. But, you know, there's no real threatening defense until he gets to Clemson post the bye. You know, so he should get – if he can get through – the Notre Dame game without those people calling for him, it's going to be hard for them to say we want MJ, because I got a feeling the schedule sets up favorably for him to
perform. Yeah, and I'm so frustrated with the Morris deal, because I did something, I think it was after the Wake Forest game on one of our features, where I was talking about how, okay, this is a real opportunity for Morris, because you had, I think, four games left after Wake Forest where he could have just blown everything out of the water. I'm the guy going into next year. And then you go out against Boston College, you get injured, you lose that game, and you're out for the rest of the season. And so, like, to me, the whole push for Morris is just, I'm surprised by it because the sample size is so small. Like, if he would have finished out that year strong and State would have went out and got Brennan Armstrong, hell, I would have seen the reason for it. I would have been like, okay, I get it. But, I mean, he's got a win over Wake under his belt. Okay.
That's not great. I mean that's good for State. I mean, I'm just saying.
I guess. I mean, we tend to beat Wake at home. I mean, I know we don't like to say that, but yeah. State tends to win that game at home. You know, I mean.
Tends to.
You lost to Boston College, like kind of pushed him a little bit down.
Yeah, he was hurt, and I guess that's more of the Beck thing. He was hurt, and you start running, you know, naked bootlegs for a quarterback who's already limping and clearly hurt. Whatever. That's.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Yeah. I think MJ's shown some, but
yeah, I think
if the argument is upside, like the upside to me is Armstrong hit. Like if I told you right now, Brennan Armstrong gives you 90% of what he did at Virginia in 21, you might pick State to win the league.
Right, I agree. Yeah,
and I don't know if Morris can give you 90% of that. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
What if you get 22 Armstrong?
If you get 22 Armstrong, I don't.
Seven touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
Well, okay, so I don't know if I should be saying this, but I guess I can. I still have I still talk a little bit with
your boy, certain staffer at Virginia. Okay, you can leave it
there. Yeah, and. You know, I think they thought Brennan Armstrong played well relative to the way they asked him to play. Like Tony Elliott was in his first year at Virginia. They didn't go in wanting to replicate what Virginia was doing offensively. Yeah. They went in wanting to be better defensively, wanting to be able to run the football more. And like we can knock what he did at Virginia all we want. And I'm not saying you're wrong. He did not have a good year at Virginia. He was asked to play completely different. He just asked to play completely different. I mean, he threw the ball 32 times a game. I just told you it was 45 for, you know, the year before. Mm-hmm. Completely different system. You know, I think three of those receivers were not even there that played last year. So it wasn't really the same setup. They had five new offensive linemen. I was also told that apparently they led the country in drops last year. The country in drops. Like, you know how mad we would be? If our receiver core led the country in drops.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, and so, like, all of that, I think, added up to that. I'd be more surprised if that happened than if he was better than he was at Virginia in 21. Yeah. Honestly. Because I think you put him back with Anai, and in that system, the way, you know, you look at what – I mean, has Anai had a bad year? Man, we talked about this last year. I think we did a preseason pod. How bad did we talk about Garrett Schrader?
Oh yeah, I mean bum,
right?
Yeah, bum level, yeah.
And the guy was competent to good.
Yeah, you loved him early on in the season. You were a huge Schrader fan.
Yeah, and I mean, I still loved him. I mean, like the fact that he actually had a competent season. I mean,
yeah.
You know, he 17 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He ran for 9 touchdowns, 450 yards. I mean, you got 26 touchdowns from Garrett Schrader.
Right.
I mean. You know, 8.3 yards per attempt, 65% completion percentage. I don't think I seriously would have doubted he could have completed 65% against no defense.
I still don't think I still don't know how he did it. Yeah, yeah, I agree.
And that's what I'm saying is like,
yeah,
that was Garrett Schrader. I really think the Virginia thing is a little over. And again, we'll see. I don't expect him to be 21 Armstrong either. You know, I don't. I mean, I think that's even an outlier. But can he be close to that? Can he be 3,500 passing yards, 30 touchdowns? Like, if he can give you that, that might be enough.
I think it will. I mean, it's Armstrong having those up and down years, and it's Morris coming in and just being infinitely better than Jack Chambers was, and the offense looking like more dynamic. All those things kind of play together is why people are like, ah, I kind of want to see MJ. And then, you know, Armstrong's a left-hander, throws a weird looking pass. I think it's,
well, I think it's also the freshman. Yeah. The freshman one's a we you know how it is, man. I mean, I don't do politics, but the people that do politics, I always hear the hope stuff from them. Like, I hope this next guy is going to change all this stuff and all this.
Nothing.
You know how it is. It's the same thing at quarterback. Yeah. I hope this freshman is going to be great and be my guy for 4 years. I just don't worry about that anymore with the transfer portal. Like, I don't care what grade. It's 1-to-1. One year.
Yeah. What stood out to me in looking at, you know, when we had this discussion and who do I want to play? Armstrong's yards per attempt numbers, 10 yards, 9 yards, 9 yards, 6 yards. So that was his first 4 years and then his last year, right? And then Garrett Schrader is the exact opposite. He went 5 yards, 6 yards, 8.5 yards. So there's a clear correlation between offensive coordinator, style, scheme, however you want to frame it, to one's production going down, one production's going up. And I hope we see Armstrong return to some, you know, glory, so to speak, to the 2021 version of him. Yeah, these are direct correlation. Right.
I mean, yeah, and for guys that are big on coaches, I mean, I think this is an example of where they are important. You know, I mean, like, I think scheme fit and the way you use guys. Now, there's going to be give and takes to all of it. Like I told you earlier, go look at what the backup did when you took Schrader out the game. Right. You know, I mean, there wasn't fairy dust sprinkled on that guy to where he was all of a sudden great, you know, so you still have to be able to do something. I think with Schrader, it was the legs were so good. He doesn't even have to be a great passer, man. He can just be competent because you got to worry about him running so much. I feel like Armstrong will be better. I'm excited about it. I'm really excited about it because, I mean, I think, like, I know some folks were upset that he had a couple picks in the spring game. I'm like, man, I like the fact that he threw every play.
Yeah.
Because my hope is that's what they do. My hope is they play that aggressive. And another thing I know I was talking about on the forum the other or on our boards recently was losing Christopher Dunn. Do you play more aggressive? Having maybe more of a question mark at kicker. Like, there were times, you know this, there were times it felt like State was playing for a 45-yard field goal. Like, yeah. You don't have to do that. Like, 4th and 4, go for it. You know, 4th and 3, continue to try and score touchdowns. So I think if the aggressive mentality's there, I really think they got a chance.
All right, y'all. James and I talked for nearly 2 hours, so I'm going to split this up into 2 podcasts to make it digestible. The next one will be dropping tomorrow. Thanks for listening. As always, I was raised by the waves. By the waves. I was raised by the wolves, 874.